Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to our show. This is Perfecting the Ordained Love Walk. Your host today is Lady Carolyn Ann.
And Elder-elect Clayton Evans.
And we want to thank you for joining us today. Today, our topic is going to be Love Does Not Take an Inventory of Wrongs. And before we get started, we'd like to have a little prayer, Minister Evans.
Spirit of the true and living God, once again we come before your throne, giving thanks and praise for this another day that you have made. Father God, as we search your word, we just ask your Heavenly Father for enlightenment, Father God, that you will speak to our hearts, Father God, so that we may know how to walk in love, dear Heavenly Father, and to do this, Father God, on a daily basis, dear Heavenly Father. We just ask now that your Spirit be with us, abide with us as we seek your word, dear Heavenly Father, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. For the sake we pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you, thank you. Appreciate that. Good prayer. Today we're going to be coming out of Romans 12 and 2, and then we're going to do Colossians 3, 12 through 14. And Colossians 3, 12 through 14 is coming out of the Message Bible. 1 Peter, 2nd chapter, verse 1 through 3. And those coming out of the Message Bible. We're doing King James Version of Romans 12 and 2. And the word says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Amen.
Amen.
Colossians 3, 12 through 14. Coming out the Message Bible. So, chosen by God for this new life of love, dressed in the wardrobe God picked out for you, compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline. Be even-tempered, content with second place, quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. And regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic, all-purpose garment. Never be without it. 1 Peter, 2nd chapter, verse 1 through 3. So clean house. Make a clean sweep of malice and pretense, envy and hurtful talk. You've had a taste of God. Now, like infants at the breast, drink deep of God's pure kindness. Then you'll grow up mature and whole in God. Amen. That's the word of God.
For the people of God.
Amen. Amen. And today, the topic is Love Does Not Take an Inventory of Wrong. And we're going to be discussing learning how to operate in love, acknowledging and realizing that means that we have to stop holding others and ourselves accountable for wrongdoing. The word tells us to forgive our debtors, and we must learn how to do that in order to do better in operating in love.
Mm-hmm.
Too many times we hold those offenses of the past. You know, it's an overwhelming amount that live dedicated to the experiences that they had in their past. And they hold each and every person that they meet or become involved with or try to get to know accountable for those old offenses. You know, and the word tells us that we need that renewing of our mind. You know, we need to believe that the people that we meet, they just like fresh manna. This is a new person. This is not the same people that did whatever happened to us in our past. You know, we perpetually distinguishing love from our lives because of our past experiences and holding on to those past experiences.
It's true. And I can't hold someone else for someone else's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Or even going through life carrying that luggage, you know, that
baggage.
That baggage from your past into another relationship, you know, because that has a tendency to first of all weigh it down. Doesn't really give it a chance to really grow and flourish because you're already putting stuff on it, you know, unnecessarily. And 9 times out of 10, that's not fair to the individual. So, first scripture we read in Romans, you know, to be renewed, that means you need to start from a fresh place. You need to really unlearn some things so that you can renew your thinking, you know, your precepts and concepts of how it is to deal with relationship and other people, you know. And when you do it based on God's word, it's letting his word replace those old concepts and precepts that you have. That's a new and a fresh perspective on whatever it is that you're dealing with in your mind, you know. To give you a new and a fresh mindset on how to deal with circumstances and situations in your life, you know, because you can't expect something different to happen doing the same thing.
Exactly.
You know? So to make it new and to really get an understanding, you got to pray about it to get that understanding, you know, because the Holy Spirit will reveal that to you. But a lot of times, you know, we base situations and circumstances, even in relationships, based on other stuff we have experienced, you know. So the new, the conform, they do not be conformed to this world. You know, we conform to the patterns that we've seen in other relationships, thinking it's going to work for us. And most of the time, that's not true,
mm-hmm.
you know, because like you see, these are new relationships, you know, so this is brand new territory, so why not do it with a fresh perspective and a renewed mind so you can get off to a fresh start.
Because, mm-hmm. you know, as you was ministering, I was thinking about how for so long my perception of love, you know, because it was distorted at a young age for me, you know, through some uncalled for, I say, circumstances, you know, and it gave me that gauge, you know, and by all relationships, I used that same gauge,
right.
you know, that same gauge, and most of it was based on fear, you know, the fear of being controlled. You know, the fear of being hurt, you know, and trying to make sure that those things did not happen to me. You know, I became conformed to that,
yeah.
you know, and it made me so offensive, you know, because I was always on the defense, you know, that everything that I was thinking about in relationships, as far as having relationships, was making sure, you know, that the past didn't happen to me, you know. And I lived right there for so long in all my relationships, you know, and that was one of our biggest struggles in this marriage, you know, trying not to allow you, you know, to be the man that you are in my life because I still wanted to have that amount of control, you know, where, you know, a lot of times, too, you know, we grow up with those outdated survival skills, you know, where people mm-hmm. tell us, too, you know, if a man ain't doing this and a man ain't doing that, and, you know, you better not let this happen, you better not let that happen, you know, you make sure you stay on your toes, you know, the man is the head of the house and you the neck, you know, you make sure, you know, we hear so much stuff that tells us, you know, that this is how we're supposed to act, and this is supposed to be our response to these things that happen in our home. But what it really does, it perpetuates that wrath, you know, and that conforming, like you was talking about, you know, and it also keeps us from understanding that other people have a process that could help us, you know, to learn better. You know, because it stops us from listening. We don't listen to the man. You know, we out of place. We out of order. You know, I remember when your bishop said that. You know, anything with two heads is a monster. You know, And when a woman is out of place in her home because she wants to be the head of everything, you know, instead of being a helpmeet, she wants to be the decision maker, you know. And those things come from that fear of not allowing a man to get into his position because of that fear of being controlled,
right.
You know. But it says in Galatians 5:22, it said, but what happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I could allow God to bring these things forward for me, you know, then I could have the fruit. You know, it says fruit of the labor comes in the right season, you know,
mm-hmm.
not even being able to wait, you know, for what it is that God is going to do, that right there conforms us, you know, to this world. You know, because instead of trying to wait on what God got for us, we want to make this happen.
Make it
you
happen.
Know, I want to make a husband before I learn what a wife is, you know.
Self-effort is really what puts us in these kind of situations because we don't want to trust in the Lord and lean on Him, you know, and try to understand His will for our lives, you know, like it says in Romans. We have to understand that, you know, we're born in sin, shaped in iniquity. So when it comes to us trying to figure out what is spiritual, you know, from a carnal or fleshly standpoint, it don't work. You can't do spirit in the flesh.
Amen.
It just don't work. Mm-hmm. You know, so therefore, you know, you have to allow the Holy Spirit to guide you and minister you through these things and by reading the Word of God and getting that renewed mind, it'll help you to navigate through those and get rid of that old stuff because the old stuff got to go, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You can't put new wine in old wineskins. It just don't work, you know. So, and this is wine. This is that wine that's, you know, that gives you life, you know. And when it comes from God's word, it's proven. I don't even understand how people can say, you know, there's not a God. I just don't understand that, how anybody can say that he's dead or he does not exist, you know, because there's so much proof of him, even by just waking up and looking in the mirror at yourself, let alone every creator in this universe. You know, we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and it took a God with the intelligence to do that.
Right.
You know.
And when we look at learning how not to take that inventory wrong, you know, we have to look at how we hold on to those things. You know, I know that for me as a woman, you know, I can go back to, I was born in 62. I probably can go back to 72 thinking of what was done to me, who did it, how they did it, you know, and pull that up, you know, and, you know, not being able to throw those things into the sea of forgiveness and forget, you know, with that renewing of my mind, you know, because what happens is, If I'm offended by something of my past, it's because I brought it up to my mind to remember it, you know, of what it was that this reminds me of. And that's that inventory of wrongs that I hold on to. So some of those times when we think about people, like we were talking about being easily offended last night, you know, we think of how some other people can be so easily offended. We don't know what the inventory is that they're holding on to.
It's true.
You know. You never know when you pass by a person and say a word or make a motion, you know, what are we triggering?
Yeah.
What are we triggering in them?
When the Rolodex gets to
spin, yeah,
and
you
stop
know.
It, whatever it was,
mm-hmm.
and, you know.
And you remind them of, you
whatever.
Know, the person that beat them, the last person that cussed them out, you know, who gave money, you know, because we hold all those offenses. You know, like you say, in our Rolodex, that's our inventory,
yeah.
You know, and those are the things that we have to get rid of, you know. now when things come up, because it is not a overnight process. You know, it's over time, you know, and it takes a lot of work, you know, to forgive, especially when you have real traumatic instances happen to you. You know, like I had some stuff happen to me as a child, you know, and, you know, part of the healing process came for me, you know, going back and actually taking a real inventory over that, because at the time, you know, not realizing that a whole lot of my behavior had a lot to do with that. I had to go back and pick that up and let that little bit heal, you know, because what happened was I was always reacting to that, you know. That's where the meanness came from, you know. That's where the, you know, how you can build a wall around yourself, you know, and you think that you done let the wall down, but the only thing you did was take it from brick to plexiglass. You know, it's still a wall. People can see you now, but they still can't get in,
right,
and you can't get out,
right,
you know.
Mm.
And learning how to be able to do something else with that pain and that hurt, you know, learning how to let that go, give that to God, let God be that burden carrier, you know, taking that away. And one of the things that helped me, too, was understanding that people have a process that, when people do hurt us, you know, we know that hurt people hurt people. Taking that into, you know, taking that into consideration and thinking about what did this, what has this person been through to make them act the way they're acting? You know, what happened to them?
Yeah.
You know.
So bitter.
Yes.
Angry or, you know, always on the defense,
mm-hmm,
you know, or so easily offended by things that happen, you know, because sometimes you look at, wow, you know.
It happened quick.
Yeah. What's that all about?
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So you never know those scars that's underneath,
mm-hmm,
you know, what people are filled with in life, you know. And, yeah, so that inventory is something that is readily available to any circumstance that we might come through in life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But once we understand how to operate in God's will for our lives, you know, we have some things that we can put in place that will help us to deal with those situations, you know, like we were talking about, you know, going back to being offended, that we don't allow those things to bother us or be so easily offended, because we learn how to operate in a different way, you know, putting new things in place of those old things that we used to use, you know,
mm-hmm,
when things,
yes,
did offend us,
mm-hmm,
you know. And knowing that, you know, like you say, well, maybe they done went through something, or, you know, they done had a bad day, or they done went whatever, whatever, you know, so not trying to put yourself on that level. Just, excuse me, just allowing yourself to say, okay, you know, I'm going to let them have that magic moment,
mm-hmm,
and just be okay with that,
mm-hmm,
you know, for the time being, you know, being a peacemaker,
exactly,
you know,
yeah.
And, who knows, later on they might open up to you and you begin to know them a little bit better to understand their plight and what it is that they're going through and why they respond the way they respond to certain things.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a process. Like,
and 9 times out of 10, if we really think about it, you know, because we're not such a different people, you know, we all face the same dilemmas one way or another, you know. And if we take that empathy is knowing that I've had something like that happen to me, you know, when I can do put myself into your shoes, you know, and say, okay, I remember when I was snapping,
right,
you know, or I remember when I messed somebody up, you know, I done hit people before. You know, I've cursed someone out before. You know, I wasn't always saved.
Right.
You know? I'm not so heaven bound that, you know, I'm exempt from making mistakes, you know. So allowing myself to understand the humanness of us all, you know, can also help us to take away, you know, that inventory, you know, and don't begin that inventory, you know, because once we start keeping a tally on everybody else, you know, but we don't want God to keep a tally on us, you know. Oh, God done forgave me for everything, you know, my slate is clean. But that same grace and mercy that God offers us so graciously, we need to offer that to each other, you know, on a regular, consistent basis, you know, especially when I feel like I got a need to start an inventory on you. Mm-hmm. Or when I start pulling up the inventory on anybody else, you know, because the word said, you know, when he bring those gifts into our life, it says things like affection for others.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really hard to have a negative inventory for someone when you care.
When you care about
and you acknowledge care, you know, because there's so many times in different arguments and situations, we say, I don't care. I don't care what you think. I don't care what you say. I don't care what you do, you know. Instead of being able to say, the reason why I feel the way that I feel right now, the reason why I am so upset and so angry, because I do care.
Right.
And it's not feeling good to me right now, you know. And I need to be able to operate in that truth to give you the opportunity to know that I do care. I might be acting like a straight clown right now.
And how much more would that help people when they come into such a situation like that, if they approached it that way?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I mean, that would revolutionize relationships.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It would make a difference.
But,
because we don't operate in truth, you know, all the time. And love is the truth, you know.
You know,
if I say I love you instead of saying I hate you,
yeah,
get out. You know, when I want to say, please, please love me, don't go. You know.
But I remember you saying once, you know, even with dealing with truth, you have to deal with it.
Because
some truth hurts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, a lot of it really hurts. The real truth, you know, about a lot of stuff in life, it hurts, but so you still have to bring it in a loving way, because
it's not the truth that hurts. So you know what hurts? Our denial of the truth.
Well, that's true.
You know, when we're not ready to accept the truth, because you notice that there are things that people can tell you that you know. You done already told yourself and accepted it, so when it comes to you again, you don't feel that. You know, you don't feel that hurt. But it, like, if somebody telling you something that you need to stop, you're not ready to stop, but it's the truth, you need to stop, okay, that hurt. I don't want to hear that for you, you know. And especially in relationships, what we got to recognize is that see me as the best. You want me to see you as the best. So when we at our worst, you know, and I can tell you that you at your worst, you don't want to hear that from me. And when you telling me I'm at my worst, I don't want to hear that from you, because that kind of shakes the little, I don't want to say illusion, because it's a real thought that we have of each other, not our heart, but it kind of shakes what's going on at that time and makes you have to come up out of that, you know. And what if you're not ready?
Yeah, to deal with some stuff you ain't ready with.
You're not ready to deal with it, you know. And it's being able to bring each other from that confirmation, that conformity, you know, that we can pick up, because it doesn't take much for those fears to jump.
No, it really doesn't. Wow.
It really doesn't. But being able to, you know that love does not take an inventory wrong. Love is not holding us accountable for every mistake that we make. You know, we human, we're going to make mistakes, you know. Hopefully we can learn from them. And what we need to understand at all times is that everybody has the right to be wrong. And we're not entitled to making sure that they remember that they did wrong. You know, we have to be able to, you know, put the jackhammer down, you know, stop beating people up for everything, and stop beating ourselves up because, you know, when I was caught up in that inventory, you know, it always did, like you were saying earlier, weighed me down. It always made me feel bad. You know, I'm always on the alert. You know, I'm walking around with flashlight in the daytime, you know, looking, you know, because I don't know, you know, who's against me. It's dangerous. You know, everything is such a danger out here. There's no peace. You know, there's no security. There's no assurance, you know, because I'm relying on me and my thinking, not God. You know, not trying to get into his will, not loving people the way that he told me to do, you know. No fruits of the spirit, you know. Ain't no orchard magically appearing, you know.
Nowhere,
you know. I don't see no rainbows in the sky. All I see is they out to get me.
Dark clouds.
Yeah, dark clouds. And I need to be ready, you know. When it come, I need to be ready, you know. That rigid spirit, you know. And I'm really grateful that I don't have to live like that anymore. You know, I know today that, you know, people are going to hurt people because there are a lot of hurt people. And a lot of times it's not you. You may become the target, but you're not the reason, you know. And I try to look at people like, okay, I know they ain't really mad at me. They acting like that right now, but I know I haven't done anything to them, you know, so I need to be able to understand that even though I'm the target just for today, I'm not the reason. So I don't have to retaliate. You know, God said vengeance is his. He'll get them, you know. So it's a process. It is definitely a process. You want to say something?
I was just thinking about one of the scriptures that we had read earlier.
Mm-hmm.
When it spoke of love as being a garment to put on.
Right.
You know, a lot of times we need to posture ourselves, you know, with those things. You know, it says, whether it's like Colossians 3:12-14, so chosen by God for this new life of love, dressed in the wardrobe God picked out for you, compassion, kindness, humility, quiet, strength, discipline. You know, those things are things that help you deal with these things that we've been speaking of, you know, but a lot of times we leave home without them.
Oh, yeah.
So when we leave home without them and those things approach us during the course of our day, we really don't think it's unaware, you know,
and ill
equipped to deal with the things that we're going to be in most of the time. Some time in the course of your day, you're going to need some of, not all of that.
And it says that regardless of what else you put on, wear love. Put some love on it. Mm-hmm.
You know, and just like, you know, our motto is, you know, the lesson is always love, no matter what it is.
Yeah. So
you gotta put some love on it. You can make it work.
Exactly. And that is the antidote. Love is the antidote.
Yeah.
You know, it's really impossible to have anything else going on if you are love, you know. So I enjoyed talking with you once again.
Always.
I always appreciate you ministering with me and to me. You want to pray us out?
Father God, it's in the name of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we once again, Father God, give thanks and praise for being able to be in your service, Father God. But the ultimate desire and goal, Father God, is that the word to just reach out and touch someone's life, Father God. And we ask these things now that it is so in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
We pray, amen.
Amen, amen. And we want to thank you for joining us, and we hope that you'll join us again. And remember that no matter what it is that you're going through, any circumstance or situation, no matter what the problem is, one thing that we must always remember is that the lesson is always love.